Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. Hi. Here I am sitting at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side on a lovely Sunday night. So I'm hoping you all had great weekends. I know I did. Went way too fast, but I guess that's the way the world works these days. It all goes way too fast. So we are sitting here looking at the weekly weather for the week ahead, which is the week of November, right, coming up to Thanksgiving, November 14th to the 20th. So what we're going to be talking about today are the aspects in the sky, what they feel like, how they look, what they're going to do to you energetically, how you can work with them productively. And then we take calls from listeners, and we always like to have a little astrology lesson in there if we can fit one in. And this week we actually have a lot of stuff happening in the heavens. Because it's just one of those busy, busy weeks. And so we're going to be working with that energy and working with it in a really productive manner. But remember, Venus is still retrograde, right? And she's retrograde this week and she turns direct. So when she turns direct, we're going to have a big reveal. Now, for those of you who have been enjoying this Venus retrograde, and there are some of you. I had one friend who was really having a great time on it. Only one, but but she's like, Ann, it's not that bad. I'm really having a good time. Venus retrograde has a very strong story of digging into the shadow side of Venus. And she and I had a conversation this week about that, that the shadow side of Venus is up, and people hate to look at their shadows. Well, she's like one of those people that likes to work with shadow energy. She's done a lot of work as a Jungian in therapy and doing things to figure out where she hooks into things. And she also is very much about, you know, facing the shadow and dealing with it, you know. She's much braver than I am, I must say. Although, you know, I do try. I get a little nervous, but I go, okay, we have to face the shadow now, and I get all, woo. Well, we're all going to be facing the shadow this week because Venus is, you know, while she's in Libra, she did pull up something from the mud with her that's drying out next to her on the ground. Now, you may have noticed it. You may not have. But when she came out of the swamp, she did not come out of the swamp unattended. Right? So the imagery is, wow, she's out of the swamp. Now what happens? And the thing that's been drying out on the ground next to her, that's your shadow. Now, Venus's shadow, you know, we think of Venus as light and happiness and love and desire. And, you know, she's a goody planet. She's a benefic, meaning we like Venus stuff. Venus is, Venus, and everybody gets all happy. But she also has a mean side, right? Where you want something and you don't get it. Or your vision is, you know, that would be really what I want. And the desire is really popping. And it's a desire that's based in ego, a desire that's based in something that's not good for you. Or it's a desire that's based on a lack place. Meaning I don't have that, so I desire it because I want it. Not need it, but want it. So I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine, and somebody had said to her, you don't need it, you want it. And the answer was yes. But because they had decided she didn't need it, they weren't going to give it to her. And it's kind of like, wow, you know. And it was controlling and manipulative and all that stuff. But the point of it was pointing out to her what did she want versus what did she need and what was the source of that desire. And that's what Venus's shadow is all about. What is the source of the desire? From whence does it come? Or from where does it come? What does it hook on to? Where is it? Caught in your insides, you know. There was an analogy I used to do with fish hooks. You know, a fish hook comes and it whacks in your chest like a fish hook, and you're hooked. And you can feel you're hooked. You're struggling. You're a fish. You're caught, and you have to reach over and unhook it and release it. And that's when someone, you know, kind of stimulates your buttons, But in this case, you're stimulating your own buttons. Now, it may be you've blamed it on someone, or you've given it to someone else, or you're projecting it on someone else. But it's really your issue. And I mean that in a kind way, not in a blame way. People go, oh, my God, my issue. I thought I... No, no, no. Not mean. Just standing in faith, holding it. Holding its hand and understanding where it comes from. There's no judgment on this. Owning the comfortableness of the shadow. That the shadow is the stuff we don't necessarily name, but we deeply, deeply want. And when the shadow is running, which it is right now because Venus is retrograde, and it will be this week because she's stationing, it's going to pop this week, going to pop out of the water, maybe scare you. But the idea of it is it's not a bad thing. Just know where it comes from. Know what it is, right? So it's about being authentically recognized for what you desire. So I know in my own life, you know, I've been working on some stuff. I have Venus in Scorpio. So this has been a big fall for me. Working on different parts of my Venus nature. And, you know, and of course, conversations with clients, conversations with friends, conversations with people I don't know, but the Venus issues are running, so everybody's talking about their Venuses right now. And what it always seems to be about is that little place inside of us where we are somehow psychologically not quite sure. Remember, eighth house is Scorpio, psychological. We're not quite sure what we want to do with it, okay? And the idea being, what is the point? What is the premise? What is the reason behind it? That's the psychological place we're standing in. Where does it hook into your soul? And it's not a fish hook from outside, although you may think it's a person, but it's your fish hook. They're hooking you because you have a little vulnerability to getting hooked on that point. That's the part you pay attention to. So it's not even them hooking you. It's you going, here, give me that hook. Let me put it in my chest here and hang on to it and hold it tight. And if, you know, you've got a hook in me. And it's like, no, 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 you put the hook in yourself, but it's also about how do you want to do it. So I had a situation. I'm a moon in Pisces or a Virgo. I like to take care of people. I like to be of service. And I had a, and I do work, you know, as an astrologer for a living where I do a service. But sometimes, you know, it's time to say, no, I don't want to do that. So I had a situation where someone wanted me to do something, and I was really very ambivalent about it. And I don't often say no. It's one of my learnings in this lifetime, how to say no, Saturn and Scorpio. Scorpio is saying no a lot. I have Saturn there. I have trouble saying no. But I really had to work to say, you know, I don't want to go. And I really even had trouble just saying, I really don't want to go. I mean, I knew I didn't want to go. I could feel I didn't want to go. But actually verbalizing those words, saying, I don't want to do that, and then giving myself permission to be okay with not doing it, and giving myself permission to handle the response I got. And that was the process for me, because it was dealing with Venus-Saturn. I don't like to say no to people because I don't want people to say no to me. Right? We very often do for others what we don't want done to us. Because when someone says no to me, I always feel really bad. Venus and Saturn and Scorpio. Well, Venus and Saturn, where did that start? Started in early childhood. I got a 2-degree separation, got a 4-degree, got a 6-degree. My parents didn't have any money when I was little. So I might want the bright, sparkly toy, and it's like, no, we don't have, no, you're not getting that. And so Venus, Saturn, no. No is a hard word for me. So it's been working with the no. Me saying no. Me saying, no, that's not what I want. No, well, I like that, but no, I don't want that. That's really been the focus of the Venus in Scorpio. Lots of no's or maybes, because I had trouble saying no, but then going back and saying, well, you know, I thought about it, I'm going to say no. Or Venus in Scorpio standing my ground and saying, no, that doesn't work for me. This works for me. So that's how I've been working that Venus in Scorpio, because for me, it stands in the place of how I am valued by, and then you fill in others, no, how I'm actually valued by myself. Because by not being able to say no cleanly, I can't say yes cleanly either. Excuse me. No, I guess that must be true. That's what my friend Molly always says. If you sneeze when you say it, it's true. So I can't say yes cleanly if I can't say no cleanly, right? It's very, you know, if you can't say no, then you, how do you know you're really saying yes? Because you're saying yes because you can't say no, or you're saying yes because you actually want to do it? It's like one of those conundrums. At any rate, Venus says, what do you desire? And then next she says, and what's your biggest fear about it, what you desire? That you're going to get it? That you might not get it? That it might actually work the way you wanted it to? That the other person might say yes, no, maybe? What's your fear? And she is pushing on your buttons about your fear about how you're able to get what you desire or want. Or think you want. Sometimes you want something and it actually is not really good for you. So she's also saying, do you really want that? I don't really think that's good for you. And in the situation where I said I really didn't want to go, I felt like it was kind of one of those setups where it was going to be highly emotional and I was not going to be able to kind of work in the emotion in, you know, because it was like a setup emotion, you know, like it was going into a very dramatic situation. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go into the dramatic situation. I want to just kind of stand back from the drama and watch it. And that's the solution for this week. When the drama kicks, if you're in it, just kind of take a step back and look at the drama and see why Venus is pitching a hissy fit. Because Venus is going to be hissy fitting a lot. And when she hissy fits, you have to say, let me see, why is she hissy fitting, and what does that actually look like? And then secondly, what is my response going to be to the hissy fit? Because you have one, and Venus is encouraging you to look at your response to the situation, your emotional desire response, not your nurture response, but what you actually desire to do, right? So if you can parse the two of them, that's the place to stand. Because emotionally, oh, I really want that. You know, it would really make me feel good. But then do you actually desire it? That's the Venus place, right? That's the Venus in Scorpio. Do you need it or do you want it? And then the second part is if you're in service to it, do you want to continue to be in service to it? Or do you want to say, gee, this looks like a landmine. I think I'm just going to sit this one out, which is what I chose to do. Was let me go sit this one out. Or actually, let me go explore why I'm having such a deep emotional reaction to this. Because I am. I'm reacting very emotionally. Why? Go ask yourself why. Listen to what Venus says. Don't interface with the person who you're having the emotional dialogue with. Interface with yourself and what emotionally is going on for you with that Venus in Scorpio, because she's really pushing for us to have consciousness and awareness and to wake up. And if we know that, then we go, okay, that's the vision. She's trying to get me aware of where I have trouble. So in my case, I have trouble saying no, particularly in situations where I think somebody wants me to take care of them. Right? That's just the way I'm wired. Pisces moon, Virgo sun, seventh house sun, moon in the first, yada, yada. Ruler of the first is my sixth house. I'll take care of you. You know, I will, no problem. But I have trouble saying no. So saying no to taking care of someone when I know they might want me to, really hard. But if I know I really don't want to do it and I'm feeling put upon, then I have to say no, because otherwise I'm not doing it authentically. And that's where we are, authentic ability to say, do you desire to do this or not? That's the place to stand this week, authentic desire. What do you really want? And I had a bunch of other things I really wanted to do which I did instead of doing this other thing. That was good for me. Now you, this week, it's what are the authentic things you really need to do for yourself to help yourself work with this Venus stopping in the sky. Now when she stops, basically she's stopping for the next few days. So she actually technically goes direct on the 18th, which is Thursday, as does Jupiter go direct on the 18th, which is Thursday. But Venus, in the meantime, is stopped dead in the sky tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then on the other side, she's stopped dead 19th, 20th, and then on the 21st, she starts moving forward. Now, on the 21st, we also have a full moon in Taurus at high noon, okay? And so when we see a full moon on a, you know, in Taurus at the last degree, 29 degrees of Taurus, what we're looking at is an ending of an emotional situation. Venus is Taurus. Venus is going direct. So this week, we're going to be working with some very profound emotions around what we want or what we don't want. So I have one friend who wants to make up with a friend that she had a falling out with. Great week to do it. If it's going to happen, it'll happen this week. If it's not going to happen, it'll happen this week. It's standing in your own emotional truth and saying, as Venus and Jupiter both station on the same day, and they are in a conversation with each other that isn't always pleasant because they're both at the last degrees of a sign. Jupiter is at the last degrees of Pisces, and Venus is at Aries, so they are in a inconjunct, meaning adjust, live in the moment. They're also forming a finger of God, saying we have to pick what we truly want. And when we pick it, then we give ourselves permission to move in the direction we truly want to move in. Okay? And that's part of this week's story too. And then the full moon that takes place on Sunday, we go back to May 2009, not last year, but May of 2009. There was a story that started then that's culminating now when the moon was at 29, sun and moon were new moon at 29 Taurus. So this full moon illumines that energy and says, look back to May of 2009 and then to February of this year, 2010, and now to the full moon, Scorpio sun, full moon in Taurus, saying, do you see how the story has ripened? May 2009, February 2010, now. There's a story, a ripening there, saying this is the process. So in my case, you know, I mean, I can talk from my chart because I know what it was. In May of 2009, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to try for ESAR certification. There's different astrological organizations in the world. ESAR is one of them. And I thought, well, let me try that. You know, I mean, I've been doing astrology for a while. I should check out what their certification program is. So I did. I kind of did this whole checking out, and it was pretty cool. And I thought, well, I think I probably can sit for this test and pass it. And I need to take the counseling course, and I need to do an ethics test, and I need to do a couple other things. But that's all definitely doable. So I started doing that, and I did. I passed the test, and I took the course, and I did the other test. I mean, I did all the stuff that needed to be required. So I was awarded the certificate of an ISAR CAP. Some people say ISAR, some people say ESAR. International Society for Astrological Research. Then last February 2010, I went to the NCGR conference in Boston. And before I went, I had been contacted by ESAR, ISAR, to learn how to say their name, and asked if I wanted to do the training to become a trainer for their organization, meaning I would help train people that were looking to be certified. And I was like, yeah, I would try that. And so I went to do the training program to become a trainer for them, training people when they were looking for certification. So now, this week, this last couple of weeks, as the full moon comes, I'm organizing a training for New York that will take place in February of 2011. So it's kind of like, wow. So now I'm sitting here and I'm figuring out and selling the seats and saying, okay, I've got this many left and I need this many, and I'm kind of like in organizing mode. But it started because in May of 2009, I said, you know, maybe I should sit for certification with this organization. Let me check it out and see what's involved. And now here I am running a training in February. So it's the process, and I got the partial version in February of last year, saying come forward, and then if we go forward in time to next August, which will be the closing quarter, there'll be some other story that goes on in August that will be related to this. Now, for me, Taurus is my third house of communication, right? And, papers, certificates certainly fall in that category. In your case, there's also a story that started in May, that there's part two was February, and part three is now. Part four will be in August next year, and then you're done. You do your time. And what this is part of the longer lunation cycle that's tied to the Saros cycles of the eclipses, that every 19 years, 18 and a half years, you have the lunation in the same place. So if you think back to 1992, you have a similar story going on then, now. Right? It's the same. There's kind of this big cycle that runs. Now, 19 years is a long time. We don't often think back that far, but we can. And if we do, we go, wow, look at that. Look at how cool that is. Right? And understanding that whole process is really, really important, because it really helps. It helps us get clear. It helps us see what we want to see. It helps us understand where we're going. And that's what this is about. Taurus, full moon, the week that Venus stations on the last degree of Taurus, 29, the anaretic degree. Now, those of you who've studied astrology know those last 3 degrees are hot degrees, because the matter has, horary astrology says, the matter has been decided. So there's a decision that's been made that pushes you into a whole new place. And you're really having that happen this week. As Venus stations, as Jupiter stations, in conjunct, an adjustment is required, and then a forward motion is permitted and encouraged, and you're allowed to move into the new direction. And your job is to say, yep, I'm ready to go. Or, because it's an in conjunct, you can go, I don't know that I'm really ready to go. You know, you get a little anxious, because in conjuncts make you anxious. But the universe is pushing you gently forward, more forward, more forward, and that's all part of this process. So think back to May 2009, back to February 2010, and then whatever happens this week is tied, right? Because the stories are related. They're very tied. And they're emotional, and they're around relationship, and they're around feeling, and they're around being valued. How are you valued? What do you desire? And your job is to say, well, what I desire is this, and how I am valued is this, and the shadow side, don't forget to look at the shadow side, how I'm hooking into it is this, and okay, I got it. I figured it out. And if we do that, we really do get, on a very primal level, the bigger picture of what the universe is trying to do. The other thing we forget is that we had that cardinal cross last summer. And I've said this a few times on the show, and I will continue to say it, because until those planets, those Pisces planets, till Jupiter and Uranus get out of Pisces into Aries, we're going to be working in the emotional slog of figuring out the last life. Or finishing up the last life. So Venus in Scorpio says to us, let's go forward. Let's try the new direction. Let's give ourselves permission. And but we have to first do the emotional processing to make sure we really understand what emotionally drives us. What is the difference between what we need and we desire? Or we want. You know, we can sometimes want it, desire it, but we don't really need it. and really parsing those three pieces so that you're crystal clear about what's important, and then not being resentful if you don't really need it, because maybe you don't need it, or maybe that's not something that you're supposed to have. And then you go, but I want it. Yeah, I know you want it. But that's Venus in Scorpio. She makes you look at why you want it and understand its true story. So I was looking for somebody to do something for me this week, and they did not want to, and they didn't. And I'm like sitting going, I really wanted that. And then it's like, well, it's not that I can't get it myself, but I wanted them to give it to me. I wanted it. I wanted them to recognize it and give it to me. And they're not going to, ever. Well, at least that's what I'm saying to myself now. They're never going to do that for me. I can want it till the cows come in, as my mother. You can want it till the cows come in until you'll do blue in the face. It's not going to happen. And that's the other part of the shadow side of Venus, the stuff we really want. We sometimes have to look at it and say, and I'm probably not going to get that. Because especially if it's dependent on another person and they don't want to do it for you right now. Because we're all in very selfish modes with our Venuses, too. Our Venuses are saying to us, no, 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 you can't have it. No, 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 not yours. No, 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 no. And so you have to kind of say, really? No, 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 no. And then you have to look and say, well, is it actually something you want? You know? And if it is there another way to get it? Are you going to the same person over and over again saying, love me, see me, care for me, when in actual fact, what you really should be doing is saying, you know, I don't really think you love me. And, you know, that's okay. I really would love for you to love me. I'd love for you to see me. I'd love for you to be proud of me. I really want that. I desire that. I need it. But we're all grown-ups here, and they aren't going to do it, or they don't want to do it, or it's behooving them to not do it because it makes you hop and jump and sing and dance and do things for them because you're not able to say, oh, you're not going to do that? Okay, well, all right, you don't have to, and be okay with it. That's the trick, be okay with it. That's the shadow side of Venus, being okay with not getting what you desire, want, or need from the other person or from yourself, because for whatever reason, it's not ready, you're not ready, it's not time, it's not your path, it's whatever, who knows what it is, it's not happening. And Venus goes, but I want it. You know, and the imagery, I kind of throw it off lightly, but I think it behooves us to look at the imagery of Venus in Scorpio. The image of Venus in Scorpio is Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction, right? Now, those of you who are younger and haven't seen it, it's a good movie to rent. And what Glenn and Michael Douglas did is they had this really hot affair, you know, and great sex in the elevator. And it was, like, very passionate and whatever. And Glenn wanted Michael. And Michael was a married guy fooling around on Ann Archer, who I just loved. She was one of my favorite actresses. And she was the wife at home with the baby kids, the little kids. And Glenn wanted Michael. And Michael's like, no, you got to leave me alone. And she basically was a stalker, for lack of a better word. Boiled the kid's bunny, tried to kill him, tried to kill the wife. I mean, she was just crazy. But she was Venus and Scorpio gone amok, where she wanted the beloved, and the beloved didn't want her. Right? And then, oh, you know, I mean, it was basically, you know, murder slasher movie, but the premise of it, the desire nature, the seduction, but then the thwarting and the anger from the thwarting. See, the trick is watch where you're angry. Where are you being thwarted? I love that word, thwart. It's got such a nice sound to it. And then the other one is Kathy Bates in Misery. Now, Kathy Bates has said she does not let her boyfriends watch that movie because after they watch that movie, they get weird with her. Now, if you've never seen it, it was James Caan. I didn't actually see it because I knew it would be too violent for me, but I had that very good vision of it. Because I'd read the book, Thank You, Stephen King. So James Caan had been writer. He'd written a number of books, and he killed off her character, this character, Kathy Bates character's favorite character. And so she held him captive and forced him to write a book again. Well, in the meantime, broke his legs and did a bunch of torturous stuff to him and kept calling him, you dirty bird. And so you kind of are like, oh, my God. You know, but at any rate, her boyfriends would look at that movie and they would get really weird and then they wouldn't date her. So she wouldn't, you know, if they hadn't seen it, she wouldn't tell them she was in it because they got weird after they saw that movie and what her character did. She did win an Academy Award for the movie or got nominated. I don't know if she won an award. But, you know, like watching what her character did to James Caan, you know, holding him captive in the bed and torturing him and breaking his legs so he would write the book, you know, it was kind of one of those it was one of those scary movies. But it is Venus in Scorpio. It's I have this desire and you're not going to thwart me. So this week when we're feeling thwarted, and we will be because it's Venus stationing in her shadow, right, after she's pulled the little dead thing up on the corner. Now, what she may do is she may offer you the dead thing that she pulled out of the swamp and say, isn't this what you wanted? And you may say, gee, I don't really know that that's what I mean, I think I wanted, And you may get, like, some version of what you said you wanted. And if you do, do recognize that that is what Venus and Scorpio's interpretation of what you wanted was. So your job is to say, okay, that's really not what I wanted, but thanks for thinking of me. And thank her and say, great talking to you. I don't really think this is going to work, but, you know, I appreciate the offer. And then, you know, close the door and lock it and say, gee, that was a really thoughtful, kind thing. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say yes to that, okay? Because you're going to be getting things offered to you that maybe aren't good, right? So I had somebody today, just a few hours ago, say to me, well, you know, I was talking to this person, and they and then they said, well, they didn't know. And I was thinking maybe this, and I'm thinking, they told you no. I said, well, didn't they just, by saying that, say no? And they were like, well, yeah, I think so. I said, so why would you ask them again? Well, you know, really, I'm just curious. Why would you ask, if they told you they didn't like something, why would you ask them to do it again? Just curious. Well, I thought maybe it, no. They told you they didn't want to. That's the other part. We have to be listening to the no's, okay? And to my mind, it was kind of like a no-brainer, but clearly, She was feeling a little conflicted. Well, maybe I should say no, or maybe I should say yes, or maybe I should. No, why? The person told you they didn't like it. Don't invite them to do that again. And it's also listening what I call embedded messages. I had a good friend named Stephen Bourne, and we had way back when I first started studying astrology, he was like, Ann, people talk in these things called embedded messages. And what an embedded message is when you ask somebody something and they don't really want to do it, they talk to you in, like, secret code back telling you they don't want to do it. So, like, you say to someone, gee, you know, I was thinking of going to this concert in the church, you know, at winter solstice concert, Paul Winter. You know, you're interested in going? And they go, you know, I really find concerts in churches in winter very, very cold, and I don't like listening to music in churches. The acoustics are horrible. That was a no, right? It wasn't an overt no. They didn't say they didn't want to go, but they told you through the embedded message how they felt about sitting in concerts and churches. People do it all the time. It's what therapists do when they pay attention to what you first say when you're walking in the room. Well, you know, I had horrible traffic getting over here today. I really struggled to get here. And they're like, oh, we're going to talk about the struggle today. You know, it's the embedded message that people do all the time. So when people walk up to you and say, gee, you know, that outfit, is that new or is that old? That's old, right? And you're like, yeah. It's an embedded message. Then you listen to the next part, and they're telling you something in that. It's not a straight conversation, but they're talking to you in code, telling you things, because we're not allowed to say, you know, you look really fat in that outfit, or I think that was mine, you know. I think that was my outfit that you, where'd you get that? You know, I think I dropped that off at Goodwill. You know, I mean, whatever. It's understanding there's a history and a communication style, and this week is going to be huge for embedded messages because Venus is in Libra. She's not necessarily direct, and she is in conjunct to Jupiter in Pisces, which is not necessarily direct. And they're kind of trying to figure out how to communicate that they really don't want to do something without actually saying no. Or maybe they do want to do something, but they aren't clear. All right. So then we look at the aspects for the moon this week. So the beginning of the week, Monday, the moon is in Pisces, and it is in Pisces till 11:30 on Tuesday afternoon with a closing aspect of a conjunction. So Monday and Tuesday afternoon are actually good for you to get things accomplished. Monday and Tuesday morning are good for you to get things accomplished. The moon is void in the afternoon on Tuesday from 11:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. Then it goes into Aries. So it's in Aries on the 16th, the 17th, and the 18th. And the moon last aspect is in opposition to Venus. This is separating, baby, separating, okay? So it's a good time to leave things, throw things away, not do things you don't want to do, say no. And it's moon in Aries, so we're very direct and frank. But also moon in Aries is opposite Venus in Libra, right? Libra is stopping. So we're having a stopped Venus. And then we have a fast, volatile, emotional moon. Then on Friday the 19th, the moon goes into Taurus. It's in Taurus on the 19th and the 20th, and it's there till 12:30 on Sunday. And the last aspect is the full moon, where people want to leave. And then it goes into Gemini on Sunday afternoon, and it's in Gemini with a closing aspect of a trine to Venus. So the afternoon of the afternoon next Sunday is full of lots of good information with a closing trine positive energy. So the other thing we have this week is lots of aspects to Saturn. Mars is in Sag, so he's going to sextile Saturn tomorrow. And Mercury's in Sag, so he's going to sextile Saturn on Wednesday. We also have the Sun, because he's busy. He's at the last degrees of Scorpio. So he's going to trine Neptune on Monday. And then he is going to trine Jupiter on Monday. He is going to square Neptune on the 18th. High emotion, high dungeon, high drama. And then on the 19th, Sun trines Uranus, which is a big deal, which is Friday. Then we also have Mercury joining with Mars, because Mercury's going really fast right now, so he's going to catch up with Mars on the 20th. So the 20th is prone to a little anger, the afternoon of the 20th, around 2 o'clock. And then, of course, we have Jupiter and Venus stopping in the sky, which means that we are already in their station. So the next few days, you really want to watch what goes on around emotional relationships, what comes up for you, how you see it, what's clear, what's excitement, what's the drama. Because trust me, there will be drama. And when we see it, we go, wow, that was drama. Because it's very drama right now. And we just have to say, okay, very drama. And what do I need to do? And then also go back to what was going on for you in May of 2009. And in February of last year, because that is also part of the story. Now, the transits for the full moon are a T-square, okay, which we're going to talk about a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about it next week. But there's a T-square in the sky between Neptune and Chiron, opposite the part of fortune, squaring the sun and the moon, okay. So there's a big energy around making decisions and making choices. At the same time that Venus is gone direct, and she's leaving a trine to Neptune and Chiron, saying to them, okay, I'm ready to go. But she's also in conjunct to the moon. Okay, so there's a couple fingers of God on the moon next weekend, which means we're going to be making choices around our fate, F-A-T-E-D, like our purpose, our reason for being here. What's our fate? So we have three fingers of God in the sky, the apex Jupiter-Uranus to the part of fortune descendant into the Venus. That's one. The second one is the apex of the moon to Venus and to the north node and Pluto. That in the apex is the Venus. And then the other one, the apex is Venus aspecting Jupiter-Uranus and aspecting the moon. All right, so this is a real turning point week around what you want your direction in life to be. Very important. Some weeks are bigger than others. This is one of the biggest weeks for the year. In a shifting direction, clearing out emotions, releasing things you don't need anymore, giving yourself permission to really just go, wow, you know, what a change. I really see the world in a different way because of this transformation that we're going to go through this week. Very, very profound. Big, big week. Big emotions. So your job is also to be gentle with yourself, be kind to yourself, no yelling at yourself, just kind of say, hey, you know, the world is full of big emotions this week, and me too. And give yourself permission to be in those emotions because they're profound and they're transformative. All right, so we'll take some callers. I've got a bunch of people lined up. If you want me to call on you, make sure to press 1 so you raise your hand. So I have some people with hands raised and some people without hands raised. I'm only going to call on the hands raised. So here we go. Oh, there, 401. You just pressed your button. Hi, 951. How are you? Hello?
Hi.
Turn down the radio.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm having a lot of struggles right now, both financially and with my business. My numbers are January 7th.
Jan 7, 1966. Uh-huh.
7:58 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Encino, California.
Okay. And so you're having money and finance struggles around...
And business.
In business. Jan 7, 66, 7:58. Okay. So let's look at what Venus is doing to you. She's talking to you about your value because she's rolling through your third house, right? And you're also having Pluto on your Mercury, so communications are unclear. And you have Neptune in the seventh right now. So people aren't seeing you clearly. Whatever you're doing or saying or whatever, they're not seeing and catching. That's been going on for a little bit, and it also is communications issues, for lack of a better word, because you're having Neptune square Neptune. It's a major recreate time. It clears up in January because Jupiter is going to start trining your moon. But Jupiter, right now, that those planets are all in the eighth house. What you're really doing is you're releasing, because Jupiter and Uranus are sitting on your series, and they're saying to you, release where you unnecessarily work. You also have Venus retrograde in Aquarius, and that's joined to Mars right now in the third house. So the way to get your attention, I don't mean this in a mean way, the way to get your attention, cut off your cash flow. And that's what the universe has done. So you have to say to the universe, what's the bigger lesson in this? And you have some fingers of God in your chart around communication. So what's going on with you communication-wise around the business or asking for what you're looking for? Because Venus rules your third house. And she also rules your career direction in your midheaven. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I understand communications is an issue, but are things going to lighten up? It seems like it's just been nothing but bad event after bad event.
Right. But what's going on with you around communications? With this Venus, I mean, the bad event after bad event is saying we're trying to get your, you know, you've got Uranus and Pluto on the cusp of the eighth, the second house, so Mercury rules those. Pluto's sitting on, and so when I see that, I'm like, okay, the way to get your attention is to have bad events happen, quote unquote. That's how we get. That's how your chart gets you to pay attention. It either makes you sick because of the stuff in the sixth house, or it cuts off your money. Those are its two ways to get you to pay attention. So it's cut off your money, and you're having problems with work. So to me, that means your chart is saying to you, well, I want your attention. And so then we say, okay, well, what do you need to pay attention to? And then we look at where the attention is being focused. So right now, the attention is being focused on how do you communicate, and how do you give yourself permission to, I don't know, want to say, maybe ask ask for help's the wrong word, but like when someone says to you, well, you know what you could do? You go, no, I can't do that. Or how about if you do, no, no, I can't do that. How do you talk or listen to people? That's the place where the pressure is getting put. Does that make sense?
Well, kind of. I guess I just kind of have to digest it and think about it.
Well, think about it like when you were 12 and a half to 13 and three quarters, which is with the degree of your Mars and your Venus for those of people following along. You were the smart one. You're a smart, this is a smart chart. Okay, you got Mercury in Capricorn, you got the Aquarius Venus and the Mars in Aquarius in the sixth house. So you were very practical, very smart, very together. Capricorn Sun's hard working. Saturn in Pisces, you often can take care of other people, you know, maybe more than they need you to, but that also helps you create. That gives you the freedom, and by taking care of them, you have the freedom to leave. At least that's the way I would interpret with Uranus and Pluto on the edge of the second. If I give you what you want, you're going to leave me alone so I can go do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's how you got your freedom when you were a little kid. Now the universe is saying to you, that's not really how it works anymore. We need you to do something more, meaning your moon and your Mercury are getting woken up right now, and they're being talked to say, go back into what those old behavior patterns are of how you used to get what you wanted, starting when you were age 12 and 13, so that's like 7th grade, 8th grade, and what went on in high school. And Venus is digging that up and saying, you learned behaviors in 0 to 8th grade that you really perfected in high school. They don't work anymore. We need you to learn some new stuff. And that's why the business is falling apart, because 6th house is business. 6th house is also high school. And then Pluto-Uranus, Mercury rules Pluto-Uranus, and it's under high developmental tension right now, saying, let me wake her up. And what you really need to do is say, okay, well, how else can I maybe do this? So in your business world, when you say to clients and they say they don't really want to do something, or you're not getting called back or whatever, if you could call them back and say, so hi, you know, you didn't hire me, but I'm curious. I would like to know the reason why, you know, if there's anything I could have done to improve my presentation to you. Or if there's, you know, whatever that is, there's something in your communication style that is setting off people in a way that it didn't used to happen, and people are reacting to it. And it comes from age 12 to 13. Does that make more sense?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I just kind of need to recreate how I communicate and listen more to others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or when they say to you, I need such what, dot, dot, you go, okay, let me understand how that works. You know, so pick up a book on reflective listening. Pick up a book on mirroring or communication styles. Pick up a book, there's a guy named Rick Barrera wrote, called Over Promise, Over Deliver. And because right now your chart is getting kind of caught in, well, this is what I give you. And they're like, I know, but I need this. And it's not for long. It'll clean up. It'll get a lot easier come January. But right now, it's very tight. But it's based on old habits that you did with your mom, that you're doing with your clients, or old belief systems from the mother, the nurturing energy of how you nurture others. Because Saturn in Pisces in the seventh is, I see client, or I see partner, or I see whoever I'm dealing with as somehow me having to take care of them, or somehow them being wounded, and I have to fix them. And that's not where you need to stand now. Your chart wants you to migrate into a different way of communicating.
Okay. Okay.
Does that help? What do you do
for
work?
Well,
it does.
Well, I have a... Pardon me?
Yeah, okay. Talk.
Oh, my husband and I have a business where we put on tours for... racing, motorcycle racing, mm-hmm. And we just partnered with a business partner, and that, after all the due diligence and everything, it just seems to be falling apart very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Because of, okay, so that's falling apart, but that cost you a chunk of money.
Yeah. They're supposed to be the money person, and their money seems to have dried up, and now we're scrambling.
Right. Okay. So that's the, think of it this way. When you were in high school, you were really independent, and you knew all the answers. And in this case, you didn't get the right answers to the right questions, or whatever. But it's not that you did anything wrong here. It's about understanding what the questions are that need to be answered, or how to approach asking the questions going forward. That's what Venus is trying to get you to see. It cleans up in January, no problems, no worries. But right now, problems. Yeah. And then in January it clicks, and then in March it clicks big. And it'll be much easier. But that's Neptune in the seventh. You weren't supposed to see them. So I didn't see you. What did I actually see? Part one. Then part two, when I saw that, what did I then think was going to happen for me that was going to give me the freedom, but it didn't actually. It actually caught me tighter.
Okay.
Make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
So good luck with it. Keep us posted. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's hard. It's a hard transit, but you're going to be fine. It's just really seeing what you didn't ask. Oops, she's gone. Okay. Hung up on me. Cool. Hi, 864. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hi. Hey, I got a question about you and a business that I started. Mm-hmm. And I don't know all the astrological signs, but my birthday's March 30th, 1951. I know I was born at 3:30 in the morning. And I don't know why I called you. I just called you to hear what you might see or what's happening.
All right. And where were you born? What city and state?
Chicago, Illinois. Sorry, Evans. Yeah, Chicago.
All right. So March 30, 51, 3:30 in the morning. So what's going on with your business? Is it that you're asking, or is it?
Yeah, I've started
life in general.
Oh, I don't know, just all of it, you know, the whole basket, throw it
on. The whole thing, okay. All right, so you're in Aries, March 30th, and right now there's a lot of developmental stuff going on, changes around for you in the house of the money.
Okay.
And in the house of what you want to do for fun and creativity. It's a big shift and a big focus. So when we see that, it kind of says you're starting a new 84-year cycle around money that you've never had before. You're also starting to, you know, you've had some other cycles. 1999, there was a cycle around your money. 1999, there was a cycle around your money. 1987, and then 1975. So this is a really big cycle starting around your money and your creativity. And this chart's pretty creative with the Sun square Uranus, which says, you know, there was a story that went on with your dad. Very often Aries children have their own path. They leave home, and your chart says you basically left home at 9 years old. You maybe didn't leave, but you kind of said, you know what, I'm in this world, and I'm going to figure out how to work with it. So at age nine, there was this, I'm going to start making money. And now the universe is coming back to you and saying, that was good, but there's a little bit of thing you do to avoid relationship, commitment, I don't know what you want to call it, but you get a little hinky around the money. And that's what it's trying to clear right now, so that when the money really starts to flow, which is going to happen in the next couple of years, the next 8 years or so, you're really going to enter a very powerful money time.
I was pretty strong in 99.
It was 99. It was strong in 87, too, right?
It's always been strong, but then I got sick.
Well, you got the Sun in the second house.
I lost it all, and now I'm just going crazy.
One more time?
I said I got sick and I lost it all, and now I'm going crazy, you know?
Yeah, but you
and
only
I
got
start it. Something up, but I'm used to having that great stuff seems to surround me at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me nuts because I'm living a different world now.
Right, but this chart is lucky with money. So you're about to start a new cycle next year around making lots of money, actually probably more than you've ever made before in your life.
Oh, that would be too wild.
Well, it is, because it's Uranus going through your second house, and you've got a Sun Uranus square. So there's something you're going to either invent or come up with, or some creative thing that you always wanted to do from when you were 5 and a half, For those of you following at home, I'm looking at the Uranus in the fifth house. High developmental tension around giving yourself permission to follow that creative dream.
Well,
really
I have just
right
developed
now.
Something new, and it's starting to take off, but I'd like it to start off a little bit more now. But, you know, when you're new, it's just, you know, and
yeah,
undercapitalized,
no, it
it's tough.
Yes, it'll really take off in March. Actually,
yeah.
In Jupiter, in January, people will hear about it. In March, you'll get funding for it. And it'll be more money than you're used to. Not that you didn't make a lot of money before. But what this time is for you, being poor, is for you to say, what actually is money about? And how do I need to revise, not in a mean way, but I need to revision what I really think is my value. And that's what you're doing. That's what the going away of the money does, is it says, well, you thought you were of this value, but now you're really of this value. And what does that do to your ideas about who you are? And then you need to say to the universe, well, I'm still pretty good. I got this great idea that's coming in. Even though I've been poor now, I'm ready to go. Understand it's a new 84-year cycle starting you've never had before. The losing all the money was Uranus on your Jupiter saying, boom, it's gone. And the part of you that went, wow, how did it go? And you have to say, the reason it left was to give you this new life that's coming in now. And
you know,
that's
you might
the
be
key.
Making sense because, you know, I had cancer. I had a weird disease of cancer called strain mm-hmm. cancer. And the odds of surviving that were like 5 million to 1 out of the operating room, and then another 5 million to 1. That I'd have made it a year, and it'll be 2 years in March.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to get, you know, I just had to give everything away and turn a new lease on life. And I've done that. And I think that the way I approach is good, but then, you know, sometimes you just doubt yourself and you figure what's going on with it, you know.
Right. Well, an Aries without a plan is depressed, so you always have to have a plan. Undercapitalized, no problem. You're going to have more people wanting to invest in this, and you're going to know what to do with. So
okay.
You just take care of your health, because you have Jupiter to your sun, which is like, here I am, let's go. And your chart does have weird diseases, you know, so you always have to listen to your inner guidance with your chart about what, you know, because your chart is like, no, that's not working. Or that's working. And it shows for you, the body for you is very important around what that's how your chart gets your attention. Because with the Aquarius rising, you're more of a mind guy. You don't necessarily pay attention to the body. And that was your body's way of saying, no, you have to pay attention to me. Now that you know how important I am, now we'll give you some more money. So you can really enjoy your life.
You're pretty cool.
All right. Take care and have a great week.
Thanks.
All right, so that was the end of our show. The British Lady spoke, so I'm going to hang up and wish you all a good week. Have fun, take care, and watch for that Venus pulling the stuff out of the swamp. Watch for your shadow. Own it. It's your path. It's cool. You're going to have fun. Take care. Talk to you all next week. Bye.